It's the Mexican Soccer Show. And did you hear that bird? Was that from Cari's?
Yeah.
It has to be. Yeah, that's definitely a Mexico sound of bird and where we're at. So that's fine. It's the Mexican Soccer Show. I'm Luis Velasquez. It just put me out when I was about to start. Welcome to another edition. It's a long, long podcast dedicated to all things Mexican football. And we have a full house today. Cari Torres joining us from Torreón, Cesar in San Diego, and Amy in Los Angeles. Hey, it's... Yeah, we have a good crew. How's everybody doing? We'll start with, hi Amy, you're back. Not only on the production, but you're here.
Hello.
Cesar, when we don't record live, he says he's not ready because he gets to do his hair. But today he looks immaculate. If you can't see him, he looks great.
Thank you. You know, as someone who, you know, works from home for the most part, I'm usually in my PJs with like my Padres hat. But, you know, for the podcast, I'm like, all right, I'll put on the nice shirt, which actually is, I think it's the exact same one in my profile, like pic on Twitter too, in case you forgot who I am, I guess. I know, right? Amy says I always have to wear some sort of like dark blue, like nice shirt. But yeah, doing well. Also, we also in San Diego, we also have some bird wildlife out here. There's actually like it's kind of interesting. There are some non-native parrots. It's really exciting when they fly by the window over here in San Diego.
Non-native parrots.
Yeah, they're great.
These like immigrant parrots. Parrots, like,
whoa, come on, we love these. Clearly,
why are you classifying these already? Like,
is, well, it's great. It's great because I had to, because like you, because they actually like, and you're like, oh, how do these parrots survive? So I was googling it. They actually like feast on like non-native like plants and trees. Oh man, it's great. Anywho,
from home. Those parrots are not from here. Let's google them today. This is a Monday. This is what somebody might be, you know, in a mine right now, listening to us and these near death like jobs. And here's Cesar. I feel like I'm just kidding, Cesar. Gotti, it all started because we heard some. Do you know if your birds are non native that you are, that we heard?
I don't know. I don't know what type of birds live in palm trees because that's what's around desert palm trees because I live in the desert. So I don't know, Cesar. Maybe I'll send you a bird your direction. You can,
thank you.
You know, please, Google it for me or something.
Yeah.
Great intro here with the Mexican Soccer. We have a lot to talk about. In fact, we've already wasted like 2 or 3 minutes on birds, but we'll be talking all about a big sum contract, the renewal, 6 years. Sorry, it's what everybody's talking about. Moledo's money. So we'll kind of discuss that, see what everyone here says. Liga MX, another year where we can stamp the craziness of Liga MX. Happened once again, and the teams that are in, I think I saw a tweet with like, what a boring final. But to get to that final, I think we can definitely talk about the craziness, crying PKs. Oh my goodness. It's like every week we know that there's going to be madness. And then, there's a Mexico game. The second one of the Mextour, Mexico versus Nigeria in Dallas. We'll discuss what do we expect. So we have a tight program here today. I want to remind everyone that we do have, if you're listening to the Mexican Soccer Show, just like last week, I invited, if you're listening and you want to meet one of our a Mexican national team player in a meet and greet that we have with our friends from Footmex Nation and Wells Fargo, they do a cool meet and greet and I host. You get to actually be a part of it and meet a player and ask a question if you want to be take part in. I already got 2 people from last week, so I know. Let us know. Email me, wiso@footmexnation.com. That's foot, F-U-T, mex, M-E-X, nation.com, which I feel like people will always butcher that one. So it's wiso, W-I-S-O, at footmexnation.com. And yeah, just because you listen to the Mexican Soccer Show, you can be a part of this cool event, and you can meet a Mexican national team player. Who knows? Who knows who could it be? Maybe it's Raul. Maybe it's Ochoa. So we'll see. We've had him already too. But let's start. That being said, we are big news today with some. And if you don't know, it's Soccer United Marketing, not Sports United Marketing, with our friend Fidel from LA Times put sports on his tweet, not that. At the correct, but Soccer United Marketing.
Poor Fidel. I know. You're calling him out.
I'm calling him out. No, he's a buddy. Talking out of marketing, as you know, everyone calls it Zoom or Sum, has had a contract with the Mexican national team. They're pretty much the company that puts it all together. Anytime the Mexico comes to the United States, you always hear, Sum is all about money. Well, what isn't these days? And I want to hear your thoughts. 6-year contract, 2028. And it looks like we'll be having 5 more games in the United States at least until 2028, which I think they've had 11 years since it first started that. So, Cesar, did I get that right? Any other details?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you basically touched on it there. So FMF and Zoom have once again continued their, I think I've like called it, it's like Zoom kind of like like an arranged marriage of sorts. 6-year contract through 2028. I think the bigger news regarding that is that it's going to start in January. It's going to include El Tri Femenil as well. It was interesting reading reports, this morning about that from the LA Times and Sportico this morning, where they were talking about how, you know, it's obvious that the money earned through these games, through U.S. sponsors, this makes up more than a third of the FMF's annual budget. So, you know, the bottom line, Mexico sponsors, everyone involved, they know that Mexican Americans and Mexicans and even casual soccer fans in the U.S., you know, they're willing to spend big money on these friendlies. U.S. soccer is no longer involved in these some games anymore. So that allowed an opportunity for some to expand what they were doing with El Tri. And obviously there's a lot we don't know financially, what, you know, El Tri gets financially, what that means for the players and for some of the sponsors, but this partnership's going to continue, and it'll be interesting to see how that develops, because obviously it creates a lot of different feelings depending on.
People are getting so enraged at this. Like, everyone gets so mad, and it's okay. Everyone has their own feelings and how they feel about it. Basically, there's a company that just promotes Mexican national team games in the U.S. That's what it is. So if you want to have a Mexico in your stadium, you have to go to this company, and they put it together, right? They pay the FMF. I'm just going to put a number, let's say $7 billion. And
confirm, we still said it's $7 billion.
Yeah. And then they make, obviously, through ticket sales, they get their money back. However, you know, I'm sure it's really good business for some and amazing business for FMF. That's where the whole premise is. There it comes. So we get 5 games in the United States. That's why Mexico always plays in the United States, at least 5 games. In the pandemic, they rushed it up, and since Mexico didn't play, they actually played more games last year. That's why I think it was like the record year for Mexico. And they'll play 5 games a minimum, I believe, this year, and then next year 5 games and 5 games. So we're always going to have that. There's also some contracts there. For example, Dallas always has a game from the Dallas Sports Commission, and I think they have a contract that Mexico will play there, and they try to take them to different places where you've seen. So that's kind of the setup. Now, why do people have a problem with it? Because they're saying they just want to, you know, any game. And we've had some games that people aren't that excited for.
I'm curious to hear what Amy and Kari have to say here. But, like, I think it's just, it's, you know, sometimes you do question a random game in Pasadena against Croatia C team. That's fair. Why is this happening? And sometimes, I do think that there is a benefit for providing opportunities for young Liga MX players, and you see them playing up against the legit South American teams. I don't think it's black and white. I think I understand why some people are bothered with some of these games. At the same time, yeah, I do think there's opportunities. But I'm curious to hear what Kari and Amy have to say about this here.
Kari, you're stewing. I'll let you go first.
Kari's always been, and the cool thing is that Kari's always been like, again, nobody has like a right and wrong. I think there's so many facets of this, but knowing that the termolero, right, Kari? I mean, it comes down to playing these games that we don't need to, and it's just a cash grab.
It is a cash grab, because if there was a motive and you saw the reinvestment in the FMF and how they're using it, then, you know, you see it as, oh, okay, we're seeing the effect of playing all these games and monetary reasons and whatnot. But I don't think we're really seeing it. I think we're far from that. Also, unnecessary, especially this is a World Cup year. unnecessary mm-hmm. Morero games. For what? Look what happened to Chapito Montes. Was that a game really necessary? Was it necessary? No.
I have like not necessarily counter arguments to it, but so let me paint that. When people say that, is it necessary? I know that there are countries that are not going to go and play Mexico in Mexico. Like, it's just not attractive. So when you're looking at how many games have played in the U.S., and I know people go, oh, we saw it's because you always go and you're tied into it and you're part of it. I remember when people used to tweet at us that we get paid by, like, but me, you, and Tom used to get paid by some, or
that'd be pretty like, cool.
or like all these other people like MLS, blah, blah, blah. But when you talk about, there are like Mexico, Argentina in 2015 would not have happened. If it wasn't attractive enough. Like, if you look at how many friendlies we had before the SUM contract, it's not like people are raising their hand to go play Mexico in Mexico. This becomes attractive to getting better teams. Now, you're not going to get good teams all the time. But for example, for this year, having Uruguay, having Ecuador, having those type of teams coming to the U.S.
Potentially Brazil too. Potentially Brazil as well.
But it's also, I think, it's also a World Cup year. I think the situation is very different in, like, I don't know, last year, right? When it's sped up and there's a lot more games and a lot less time, and you're facing, like Cesar said, you know, like a C team for, yeah, a name that's attractive, but the performance on the field isn't. You know, it's not always fun games. And like Gary said, I think when the intention's there, when you do use some of these games for the younger players to come in and show what they're capable of, and even if it's a 0-0 game, hey, you got to see X, Y, and Z, who's like a prospective 20-year-old, and look what they can able to do on the field. Mm-hmm. That's not always the case. A lot of it's been pretty, I mean, not widely known, right? But a lot of the players are reluctant to come to these games at that point, right? So it's like you're paying to see your player potentially not even perform at a very high rate. And I think when you get out of a World Cup year, the excitement's not quite there. Now, to I guess kind of maybe to the point you were about to make, do us as a Mexican American or Mexican consumers in the U.S. still buy them? Yeah. So if you're still buying tickets and you're still making money for the FMF and for some, what complaint do they have of not continuing to do this stuff? You know what I mean?
And that's where I get at. Sorry. It's because we're looking at it as like, why doesn't this benefit Mexico? It's not benefited Mexico because they're crap.
I mean, it's a very
but this is for the fan, and I'm giving you this. For example, Atlanta, Mexico, Panama, it sold out at 74,000 for that. Yeah. The Atlanta fans that are there, it was a 0-0. It was probably one of the worst games last year. The atmosphere there was crazy. Amy goes to Atlanta. She loves going to Atlanta. Those games in the Mercedes-Benz, they're great. Even if they're Mexico C team Guatemala, it's going to be a great atmosphere. And I always go back to the fan. Here we're talking about, oh, okay, yeah, you know what? It doesn't do great for Mexico. There is a family that already messaged me, and it's like, hey, do you know when those tickets are going to be on sale? That's traveling from Virginia, and they have 25 people. Just so they can celebrate a day of being Mexican.
And those are also points that prove the cause, right? The cause of this partnership going together, because they do. While they do hit the main attractions, which is LA, or at this point Chicago's become one, Phoenix is another big one, Dallas a huge one, right? With their consistent yearly games, you do hit Charlotte, you do hit Atlanta, you do hit Orlando recently. You hit one of these more obscure markets that you didn't know existed until you actually get there. And you're like, holy crap, look at all these, you know, Mexican people that live there and want to go support the team. I do think, though, while the fans kind of prove the case and continue to give their money, I think it's far-fetched for the organizations. And, you know, they do what they have to do, and we can't necessarily guilt them, so to speak. But you do look at it from, okay, but the players still have to play. Mexico is the nation that plays the most games out of any other international team. You know, the players are tired. Ochoa played one game per week, if you broke it down, statistically speaking. You know, so it's exhaustion. And then you just look, I think the number really hit people online today, right? 6 more years. That's such a long time to deal with this again, right? Yeah. I think there's also little nuances that also feel wrong, like Gary says, right? Like where's the impact outside of the financial gain? What is actually being done in that regard?
But does anybody see like Mexico going to like Toulon, Mexico going to like sending their youth
and all think, the things but that I
happening think. With the Femenil and all of that, one of the best like youth run organizations of how we send our players to all abroad and tournaments that we do, like that money comes from that money. Like I think that's
yeah, what I also I agree with you.
But we are one of the best federations sending sub players all over the world.
In the end, it's complicated. It's complicated because like, you know, like we were just talking about there, like fan wise, like for me, like, you know, back in the day, like when I went to this as a fan and not like as a journalist, like it's probably the best, you know, celebration of like Mexican identity in the US, you know, it's like there's a fantastic mixture of like, you know, like. It's almost like our Mexican-American, like, Comic-Con, to be honest. Like, there's, like, tailgates and bond and people, like, dressing up. And even people, like, talk about political issues. At the end, there's, like, a soccer game. And you're, like, as a fan, you're, like, hell yeah, I don't care. Let's do this. But the reality is it happens a lot in the U.S. because consumers in the U.S. are willing to spend more money on these things in the U.S. If the consumers were willing to spend more money in Mexico, we would probably spend there'd probably be a little more games over there, but at the same time,
would you guys rather have 5 Molero games in Mexico and we're okay with that, or is it just the fact that
it's complicated,
but I think that that's a valid point that people in Mexico are starting to make now. Like, we've seen it before, it's hard for us. Four people that were born in the U.S. that go to Mexico have a true opinion about what Mexican people think.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
I definitely want to start that at discretion and be like, we also understand that there's a lot of nuances when it comes to Mexico. We just dealt with one of the worst things to ever happen in Mexican soccer history, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so there are circumstances there that suck, but just like we keep talking about the fans here in the U.S., there are some fans in Mexico that are not people looking for violence. I go, hey, when are you going to come and here so that I can see you too? Because in the same way that Mexican Americans are like, I can't go to Mexico and see Mexico play all the time. Mexican people living in Mexico can't come to the U.S. and come see them play at some games.
True. And I'm not saying that. I think it should. I think you should have more games in Mexico. What I don't like the argument of it, and I hear it all the time, is that stupid people from the U.S. are going to go to games regardless of where it's at. Like,
it's not stupid people.
It's not stupid. It's just casual. It's just casual. No.
I seriously go down the comments in Mexican fans that are saying, stupid Mexican Americans that'll go to any game. Right? Yeah. I go back to the game 2013-2014 in Chiapas. Piojo Herrera was the coach, and they took Mexico there, and it got sold out, right? And it's not like people went, and it was a bad team. I remember it wasn't even a great team. It got sold out. It was still a hype. You take Mexico anywhere in the U.S. or Mexico, people are gonna go. If you take them to Torreon, if you take them to wherever, people are gonna go, regardless if it's a bad team.
Maybe not the Azteca, apparently.
They're gonna go, dollars. I mean, think about it. Games and dollars. Dollars. It's twice as much than a game in Mexico. 100%. Also,
Well, no. Look at the Mexico City tickets. Mexico-US games were super expensive. They were like dollars.
Mexico-US, but I'm saying like a Mexico-Nigeria that's happening in Dallas. I mean, how much, what's the difference?
Give or take, how much is a U.S.? Give or take, how much is Mexico versus Nigeria? Ballpark? At its highest, it was what, like $100?
But I think that's where it's such a hard like conversation. And I'm not saying, believe me, I'm giving the other side of it where I see, because I've seen Mexico, and I feel like people are always like, you're always defending games in the U.S. I'm just saying it's not as easy conversation as like, you're always bringing Guatemala, when the only other continent or the only other federation that can play during FIFA dates is South America, because we can't play any European teams. Like people always go, why not bring in Spain? Why not bring in? Because we can't. Like you really cannot have either CONCACAF teams or CONMEBOL teams. We started seeing that in the last 2 years. We played almost every CONMEBOL team in the last 3 years.
Yeah, right? I think that's the thing too. It's just like I will, like, yeah, like I said, it's not black or white. Like, yes, I'll criticize those moments when it is Croatia C team. But if I think, like, right before, that was a mess. I was there in person. That was a mess. I think Chicharito scored this. That was cool.
We play Iceland, Ghana. We play all these things, and we cannot beat that those teams. And then people go, you really want to play against Uruguay? Because the last time we played Uruguay, we lost 4-0.
We can learn from that. True. We can learn from something else.
We can't beat Iceland, so we can't learn from that.
I think for me, curious to see.
Everyone thinks we're like a great team too. Everyone thinks we're like, we deserve not to have Guatemala when it's 0-0 versus Panama.
I am curious to look on the women's side. How was this going to impact El Tri Femenil? How do the Femenil players feel about this? Because obviously,
it's an entirely different discussion. I mean, there's going to be. I think it's hard to look at this particular sum deal and kind of ignore that quality, because I think it's going to be very interesting, and it's almost positive in the sense where you're like, there is investment on the women's side, right? So that means whatever chunk of change you're making, guess what? You're going to actually see it when it comes to that intention. Yeah. Guess what? That intention is actually there for the women's side. So it's hard to look at it there. What I found interesting, because some people were obviously commenting and messaging with me about it earlier today. This is not my quote. This is somebody else's quote, but they said, it feels like they're selling our culture back to us when they do these games.
And I
thought that was an interesting dynamic to kind of present, because
in the U.S. or Mexico?
Mexico, like Mexican American fans, like, hey, here's your.
No, but this is a Mexico fan in Mexico telling you this?
No, it's because Soccer United Marketing is the one who's marketing and running this.
Is that someone in Mexico or someone in the U.S.?
It was somebody here in the U.S. that's Mexican.
Okay.
So I think in the grand scheme of things, when you look at the intention of brands and all that stuff, I think that was an interesting point that somebody brought up, that I'm like, I can kind of see that. I can kind of see why you're overpay to go see a friendly. But I mean, again, then we get into these niche markets that we didn't expect. That I would pay that too if I lived in obscure town.
People Molero should be canceled for World Cup beer.
I think we need them. Do I agree with the whole process? But
we don't have any games scheduled because of the FIFA date. Like,
that's going to give opportunities to French players too.
Is it because of how the World Cup has shifted this year?
No. Like, I think even in a traditional World Cup year, I think it's still kind of necessary to. I mean, would I have this many games? I'm not sure. Do I still think that there are positives and benefits to having these games?
We need games. We have five games. We have three games before the World Cup. Five games. I think there's going to be a Hita in Europe, but that's not. We couldn't do a, because of the stadium. Renovation in Mexico City. There's not going to be a despedida anymore, so here it's going to be in LA, right?
Yeah.
So it's there's games that I feel like if there's any time we need our team together, and especially with what happened in the national team during qualifiers.
I also like
to add is that there's games that happen in Mexico, maybe just not all over Mexico, but it is Mexico City that gets those games that people don't go to and that they're hate because it's Mexico City. And we've already talked about
this. I think the tension there grows when it comes to these little things. Like, I'm not going to go because you only come for these days and I have to pay absurd amount of money for a World Cup qualifier. Now, do you want to miss a World Cup qualifier if you're in Mexico? I would like to say no. If I'm within the general vicinity of being at that game, I would like to go. I would like to pay for that game. But I do think that it's I think the tension grows. And so people in Mexico are like, no, I'm not going to go. And so that it's a never ending cycle. Which obviously doesn't solve anything ever.
Which is why I'm really curious to see how the turnout is like at Torreón for the Mexico Suriname game. I know it's not the biggest opponent. I know it's not the biggest tournament with the Nations League, but maybe you will have a bunch of Mexico fans will be really, really thrilled with that opportunity.
I think it's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Even sub-20 games, even 20, like when they do all the Olympic qualifiers that are there, or the tournament that's in Mexico, wherever Mexico goes, people are going to go, regardless if it's a friendly or however it is. Yeah. Like, that's just how it is.
I know when you talk League of Legends, but really quickly, I also think like there's like talking about, like I mentioned earlier, how like, you know, these games would be like really important for like, you know, people who want to celebrate their Mexican culture and they feel quite proud of it and whatnot. But I also, you know, do think that with these games, you know, aside from the numbers and the finances and whether it's a boleto or not, you know, I do wonder if Julian Araujo, if a, you know, David Ochoa, if a Jonathan Gomez, I almost feel like I could almost guarantee that they either watched or attended some of these games and that kind of helped influence their role with L3. And I do wonder going forward if that kind of helps continue to establish that for a lot of dual nationals, because guess what? Mm-hmm. You know, as the U.S. continues to produce more talent, that there is going to be a lot more dual nationals who might be taking part in these games or going as a fan, and maybe that'll kind of help them choose L3 in the end. But I don't know, I think that's something that's also kind of interesting to me, is to see if that kind of helps more future generations going forward too. But obviously very
David Ochoa went to a game and picked the U.S. first, and then
you gotta read his piece though, it's complicated.
It's great. In fact, I just all right, nobody has complains about America playing four times in 1 year in the U.S. though, or Leon or Chivas.
Well, it's right? Only four times, but like
I'm just throwing it out there. Preseason, that's preseason.
It's, yeah, you know, nobody's everyone's okay with moletos, right, that are not even the starting 11. Like, they take like a second team most of the time, but
they don't play as often. I mean, like to defend, like
I think America plays like every year.
Yeah, but they don't play as many games as the national team. And it's not as if like America only plays
play the same city. I mean, it's a tour around the U.S., right? So it's not like we all. That's another thing. It's like some.
I don't know, but if you're a Mexico fan and like in Mexico, and then you're like, oh well, they're constantly going around the U.S. and like they're never come over here to like my part of the country. Like, I get that. Like, I would be frustrated about that too. So I think it's different with America, who actually plays across the country, like, Liga MX. So yeah.
I feel it's like if you're a Mexico fan, it's like sad that I don't get Mexican national team, but they can go to a Leon game every weekend. I'm sorry, like, or they can go to the Monterrey game.
That's different. That's different.
I'll be the U.S. Be like, man, I can never see Leon play. Well,
or like, I get what you're saying, Wiso, but it's a bit different.
It's totally different.
It's fine. It's an entirely different thing to like go to a Liga MX Femenil game and then watch the women's national team play. Like,
all I'm saying is that when you're like poor Mexican fan that doesn't see their team, they get to go to a game and to live a football culture.
Dallas, I couldn't see Leon every weekend.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
No, what I'm saying is like, okay, poor us too, right? In the U.S. that don't get to
If you're
to go to Mexico to watch Liga MX game, that's the difference.
It's some true.
Some people can't go to Mexico to watch a Liga MX game.
Yeah, but you can't compare a Liga MX team doing tours versus the Mexican national team.
My comparison is
trying to get empathy because he can't fly the Leon.
Where I'm getting from is that you guys said poor Mexico fan that doesn't see Mexico games, right? I'm going like, does anybody think of the Mexico fan in the U.S. that can't go back to Mexico to watch any type of soccer and is so proud to see their Mexican team come to the U.S.?
I'm not like bashing them for it because they don't do it as often.
I think people do bash for people.
You're the one that brought up the point that like America can play here four times a year.
I'm just saying that it's okay to have moletos.
You're with yourself.
No, I'm saying that everyone has moletos, right? And that everyone's okay when America comes playing.
Yeah, but it's like, for example, Santos will have a preseason in the U.S. That's a preseason, right? But we're leading up to Liga MX. We're gonna have probably three games.
It's a game that really doesn't matter.
You know what?
All I know is that some.
So just fight with yourself.
Some is taking notes right now. They're listening to me, like, okay, all right. Okay,
I got so it. Wanna, okay, it's yourself. Interesting. All right. Top 10 games in the top 10 ranking in the U.S. versus. Yeah. All right. Always a fun discussion. So, tell us what you think. It's already almost 25 minutes into it, and we haven't even talked about the craziest part of the weekend was. the crazies of the Liguilla. Cesar, set the stage with your calm voice. Tell us.
Do you have a calm voice?
What happened? You do. You always have a feeling. Even though, like if I start, what the hell was happening? WTF. But it's kind of funny. So I heard Cesar talk. Yes, I think you can. I'm allowing.
Are we allowed to?
Because it was
I don't
that
allow
crazy.
My podcast to cuss. You know, I was just wondering.
Do you really? You have that as a rule? It's so nice of you, Cuddy.
Yeah.
I would not. I mean, we've always strayed far from it in this podcast, but I would not. I say, as a producer, I say it's fine. Go ahead.
I think actually, I allow it.
I think technically I think technically by like how ratings go, we can do it like Breaking Bad, right? You're allowed one F word.
That's it.
I think I accidentally cursed a few years back.
The reason why I think we're okay to do it is because when we started this show at the pre-show before we recorded, Cesar did say, actually, you know what, he comes out.
He said there's a lot of shit going on. It's okay.
There's a lot of shit going on. So let's go ahead and do this. This is the clip. It's going to, what the fuck happened? And you guys making sense. Let's go for it.
Just a quick reminder, that was our one F word for the season. We can no longer use one for the rest of 2022.
Way to go, Lisa.
Wait, is Ollie listening? Ollie, you can.
You just said the F word. Right. Of Ollie.
Maybe we can bleep this. What the in Liga MX over the weekend. That's
well, there was a lot of my turn to curse. There's a lot of shenanigans. So Atlas were up. Halftime. Atlas versus Tigres. Atlas were up 1-0, and Saturday's second leg. So that meant after winning 3-0 in the first leg, that meant they were up 4-0 on aggregate. So that meant that after halftime, Tigres needed to score 4 goals in the second half, and that's exactly what they did. Gignac, he had a hat trick in 30 minutes. Then Igor Lignovsky, he made it 4-4 by the 81st minute. Tigres seemed to be playing at like the confidence I've like never seen in like the last like year or so. Like ever since Oltedo, he was jokingly like standing on top of the ball before the final whistle. And then, yeah. And then, I think that was kind of a response to Quiñones, who did the same thing in the previous game. But then after that, you're like, all right, like Tigres are set. This is good. They're fine. They're going to like go through. And then Angulo, has a foul in the box. Atlas are given a penalty.
Was it okay? We all agree it was a penalty.
That was a penalty to me.
Let me get to Cadi before we keep going, because Cadi, I want to make sure I'm getting this. Was it a penalty kick or was this some kind of conspiracy of getting Ratlas?
Ratlas. I think this whole game was questioned with penalties. But go ahead, Cesar. Finish.
No. Go ahead.
He's finishing setting the stage. Let him finish.
Go ahead, Cuddy.
Okay.
Wait, Amy, to you, was it a PK, the Atlas?
Yes. But you could have convinced, I would have been convinced anything that they called for Atlas to get that PK would have been a PK. So I am not allowed to.
You wanted Atlas in the final, which I would think they wanted Tigres in the final, but okay, go ahead, Cesar. PK.
So Florent Thauvin, he starts kicking the grass like near the penalty spot. Nahuel Guzman, for some odd reason, starts crying. I don't know,
he was not crying.
Okay, analyze this. You're saying Nahuel Guzman cry before the PK. Why is he crying?
Was he genuinely emotional? Is this weird mind game?
Clearly
he's wasting time, but just
as a spiral crier, I can definitively say that that man was not crying at any point in his fiasco. You know why?
It was weird.
Look, as expert criers and anybody that's listening to this, you will understand this. The way that a cry begins, okay, when you're falling into a deep side of sadness, or even happiness, if you will. When you start crying, you do not automatically start chucking your shoulders. That doesn't happen. It's a gradual buildup, and then your body starts to respond accordingly. That man went straight into full-on head covering and pure shaking. It was 100%.
We don't know this.
It was weird, though. I mean, either way, it was like weird. I'm leaning towards I'm leaning towards Amy's thinking as just like he wasn't actually crying. It was weird, like mind games though. It was weird mind.
Is the whole crying supposedly like? I just want to know why. Like, is he saying we already lost? What's the story that nobody believes? Supposedly,
what's going on here with Noel? Why?
What's going on here?
Crying because he was already like we're gonna lose this game, and then he's trying to psych people out because he's crying.
I'm definitely leaning towards him wasting time, but it was weird. It was weird.
Why cry? Who cries before?
Because he's that type of person. That's the thing. Hilarious. That's his personality.
If we're going to look farther into the inner workings of Noel Guzman's mind, why would you bring on a second ball and waste more time?
No. Did you not see that video, Amy? Did you not see that video?
Wait.
The Atlas bench threw the ball inside.
That's true. But the thing is, he took a while. Like he could have just kicked it out. I saw that video. He could have just kicked it out.
The thing is, on the other side of the field.
If someone's listening and didn't watch the game, PK's called. Okay, now Noel cries.
PK called it like the 95th minute, like during added time.
Noel's crying. Who knows why?
Aldo Rocha. So what happens is Aldo Rocha. He steps up. He scores 100th minute. Atlas are up 5-4 on aggregate. Noel is given a second yellow for using a second ball in play. Gadi was just talking about that video. I did see that video. And yeah, it was weird. You could see there was a cooler on the sideline and like some member of like the Atlas staff just kind of like threw it out onto the field. That's a little weird, but the thing is, what Noel should have done is like, he could have just kicked it out. He decided to kick it towards the other ball. It'd be weird. Like he literally, like you saw in the replay. Like yeah, there's obviously something sketchy about Atlas throwing the ball in the field. But Noel could have just kicked it off the pitch. Instead, he kicked it towards the ball that was coming his way. He was shown a second yellow. But of course, just to wrap up all the ridiculous stuff, everything. All this wouldn't have mattered anyways because Tigres already broke a league rule after halftime. Because when Florin Thauvin stepped on the field after halftime, Tigres had nine, I guess for, because it's like,
forgot their
it's foreign players. They had nine foreign players in the 11. You're only allowed to have eight on the pitch. So they, even if somehow they would have made this work, made this happen, like Tigres broke a league rule and probably wouldn't have been able to get the win, but a lot happened.
Let me check the math on that. So I said yes. Is that greater than eight?
I remember seeing the whole ball thing in Panama when the U.S. in Panama, because I was at that game and Panama was up, and then there was like 4 minutes left, and you saw the ball boys start chucking balls inside, and then U.S. fans are U.S. is like, there's like three balls. Watch the end of the game if you want, and it's madness. But I've seen that happen before.
So they would have been disqualified because of that.
More than likely. Yeah. I mean, the league put out a statement said that they're, you know, investigated, looking into it, but more than likely, they would have been.
They confirmed it today.
Regardless of the match, they forfeit the match because of that.
I think they took out some goals. No, I saw.
Yeah. I think they
tweeted again today.
Yeah, there was a previous game. I think that happened in the second division. What happened, like a team used like the wrong amount of players. Yeah, and what they did is they basically just took away their goals. So I think that would have been the case. I think what they said. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the other best part of just the entire like craziness of the night was that comunicado gets published like before the game was even done. I think it was like just after Atlas had scored their PK. And then the league releases the comunicado that, you know what, it turns out that Tigres had too many players. We're going to start looking at it right now.
Hold on. I'm putting it all together. Noel got that comunicado, and that's why he cried.
Like, how?
He knew. Someone told him. Yo,
I was like, bro, turn around.
You have 8 players. It doesn't matter. And
crying. You don't know that.
You know how they give us like
tears? I would love
Noel Guzman.
Guzman was like, yo, this guy, somebody told him, you know, he's in the back and he's like, yo, you guys broke a rule. You have eight, too many of you guys.
But this is the thing. How irresponsible. I mean, it's feel hopeless. Like, his, that's what his assistants are there for. That's what the other people are there for. Like, can no one do the math? Can no one say, hey, you can't do this? It's like, that's funny. Just irresponsible to the max.
It is pretty funny. Especially after the outfit. After the outfit that he wore, too.
Who gets it? Like, oh, that was terrible. Can you imagine if that PK did not, like, let's just say Tigres wins. And now, like, you take away the goals, and that's how.
That fan base wouldn't. We would not hear the end of it. Pure conspiracies that are against the Tigres argument.
No, but it was their fault, though. It was
their fault. Like, still, you'd be amazed the narratives that come out.
It's their fault. All right.
But so let's just say two of those. I mean, the penalties for Tigres weren't really penalties.
I feel like it's.
Like, yes, it's an amazing story. There was like four goals in 26 minutes, but two of those goals.
I thought it was Ratlas. Like, where
it is Ratlas, but there's Ratlas at the end, right? But those, I mean, you want to tell me those penalties? Hold up, you want to tell me those penalties for Tigres were legitimate penalties?
No, of course not. I mean, that was somehow like it was like Gignac's butt that hit like an Atlas player.
Gignac fouled him with his butt.
Yeah.
The craziness of Liga MX, that's one semifinal. We go to the other semifinal, Puebla and America, which.
Pachuca America. Yeah.
Okay. Pachuca America. My bad. I really thought it would be kind of crazy and it'd be fun. Everyone looking at it and it was just a blowout. America showed what America was. And We'll go to Amy because she's here. And that
I expected them to fail every step of the way. I had no faith in them. So they're not surprised me at all. I've been talking about it for like since Cesar said they're gonna make top 10. I was like, nope, I have no faith. Even when they get to Liguilla, it's not gonna happen. But
you're like me and Leon every season. I like it.
No, I think, you know what, I have myself to blame. I really do, because for the past couple years, I have not really cared about America to that extent. And you know what they were doing? They were winning championships left and right. Now all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? I'm a true America. I'm going to go ahead and pay attention to the team. And they've been dismal for like three seasons. I do think, though, and I'll open this up to everybody, because they did so terribly during the regular season, ended at the top four, made it to the semifinal, despite getting blown out, Is this considered a failure of a season? Yeah. Or like
I think that depends on America fans. Like, are you asking America fans? Or are you asking like?
No, I'm asking you.
Let me see what he would say, because I guarantee you he would say it would be a failure because they didn't win the championship. Those are America fans. You talk to any America fans and be like, it's a failure. We should have won it all. We should win it all the time.
I don't know. I think it's tough because like, I think it depends on like who exactly you're talking about. Like the club in general, was that a success? No. Like their interim manager Ortiz, was that a success? Yes.
Yes.
I think it was really, really, really like if we're just talking about him, it's pretty incredible that was his what? Unless if I'm no, that was his first loss since stepping in. That's pretty incredible to take this team from the very bottom of the table. And to be able to do that. So I think, yeah, you got to give him credit for doing that. America in general, no, because, you know, the whole vibe, the whole, you know, idea of America is that they're supposed to be, you know, qualifying for the final. They're supposed to be winning things consistently.
But Pachuca was in first place and they themselves had a pretty, I mean, was pretty, I didn't follow Pachuca that much. Were they a pretty team this season? I would say they were, right?
I think once again, it's not like a black and white thing. I'm not going to say it's a fracaso. Like, it's terrible. It's awful. Why did America do it?
And I asked that because I'm going to start a new, tweet series called I'm going to tweet out like Mexican, like male journalists, like fracaso. I mean,
because it's not a fracaso. It's not.
I don't know. And I do. I really go like the bar was literally as low as it can get when you're at last place. So considering the fact that you got to the semifinal. Like, it's like, I look at it from like a, like literally, it's like if FC Cincinnati was in last place and then made it to a semifinal again.
Yeah, but does FC Cincinnati have the most titles in MLS?
In my heart, they do. But
they have Brandon Vasquez. He'll be playing for all three in a few years. Just wait.
I think when you look at it
in that way, like the fact that you got there and was just outplayed and just.
It was a better team. They went against a far better.
But regardless, like you're said, Amanda.
They showed who
Look at your roster. You expect more. Is it the fact that you got embarrassed? You tied in the first leg. You had a chance. You went in there. You could have been to a final, and you didn't do it. That's what they expect. That's what I think. Is it a fracaso in my book? No. I wish Leon would have been there. I wish Leon would have made it to the repechaje.
But I mean,
that's a fracaso.
That's a fracaso.
Because it's also like, okay, let's say by some miracle they beat Pachuca, they make it to the final against Atlas. Like everything's the same except for the fact that America makes it, gets to the final, goes against Atlas, gets blown out both legs. I think that's more embarrassing than getting eliminated right now in the semifinal.
I think it's just a way that they got. If it was like a close game, okay, look what we had. But I think the way that
I think it was appropriate.
Was it Atlas or is Televisa in America? Where were they helping out, guys?
No, I think the positive that America came out with was Ortiz. I mean, he turned it around. It depends how you look at it. I would say fracaso to a certain extent because look at Monterrey and how much their roster is and they couldn't even, you know what I mean? But I think they got a positive out of it, which is rare at this point in time. But
just by the way, Risa, because everybody's going to listen to this after the fact that it's recorded, I'm bleeping out the name that you said because it's
totally I wasn't thinking about that too.
To do that. But anyway, I'm just letting you guys know that is 100% that the second F word is going to be bleeped out and that name is going to be bleeped out. Just letting you know.
What was that name again? Say it again, Wisco. I'm
just kidding.
No, don't give her more. I'm going to bleep it out. I'm just saying. I'm going to use the power of the bleep now.
I think I think people somehow forget. Like, I think Ibarra was even saying that after the match. You know, he was saying that, you know, people were putting in like América as a favorites here because, of course, the big talk of boys América because they're the big club here. But you know, in the end, you know, this is that was a good summary of a Pachuca side who, I know, throughout the season, you know, they're really, really efficient. They're efficient in the final third. They're defensively strong. Ustari is a fantastic goalkeeper. And they have a lot of good things going on with Almada as their manager. And as I've talked about too, it's just like they have a great, great balance of smart, low key kind of like foreign additions and also like homegrown, like academy talent. And it's really, really cool to see that. Like, it's cool to see Daniel Aceves. He's 21. After the game, he was, you know, he was like hugging his family in the stands. And this is like, it's really cool that like in Pachuca, like you, like that can happen. That can happen. And also like it can also happen in Atlas too. Another team that has a great academy. You know, it seems like Pachuca have been producing like more exciting talent in recent years, but it's like a weird kind of like I'm not gonna say soccer purist kind of like final, but like it's almost like you pushed out all of like the big teams and now you have like tactically and just kind of like you have these like really cool managers and you have these two teams that like thrive for most of the season. And I'm looking forward to the final, but yeah, shout out to Pachuca. Cause yeah, and I thought they did a fantastic job.
Yeah. I think
Pachuca wins championships. Like out of nowhere, slowly and steady. No one thinks that they're going to win. And then all of a sudden they win.
I mean, they had a great season.
Yeah.
But it's not like, again, going to America, away America was coming in. Right. And it's, I think this is what we saw. I think what last week when we said, has Atlas really convinced you? And you guys said no.
No, because they really have been incredibly lucky this season. That's
what I'm saying.
Atlas has been lucky this season. And if Quiñones was injured, Atlas wouldn't be in the situation that they are at this point.
I want the amount of luck.
Let's talk about who wins.
Atlas has been so lucky they got to a final. That's an incredible amount of luck.
Lucky. And Santos fans have been pretty pissed because some of their, you know, old players, you know, going to Atlas and Atlas has been doing great. And then what about Santos? And that's all the thing. So, and again, the final is Grupo Pachuca and Energy. So it'll be a very interesting final. As people say it's boring, I think it'll be very interesting.
I think people just say it's boring because, you know, the top clubs or the clubs that pull in the most audiences, it's not. It's where it's that
big. Yeah, exactly.
Pachuca finals, those are good. Those are, you know, I feel like just as a preference for me, I want Pachuca to win just to stick out the fact that León can still say that they're the bicampeonato. That's it. That's the only reason.
Although, how insane would it be that after 60 years, you win two championships in a row?
Yeah, that'd be incredible.
That'd be crazy for Atlas fans.
And I really like manager Diego Coca and, like, yeah, what he's doing with that team. And, like, especially because after they lost, like, Jairo Torres, and then after, like, you had Jerry Marquez, who had his, like, red, and you're just like, all right, this isn't going to work out. They're going to struggle. But I don't know. I've been really, really impressed by Atlas. Yeah.
Who wins, guys?
I don't know.
Atlas.
Pachuca. Pachuca, Cesar?
I'll go with Pachuca because even though Nico Ibañez didn't score in the last game, I thought that he'd be like the most important player for them. Like, I thought he could, like, single-handedly win games for them. And even though he wasn't able to score in the last game, you still had Pachuca stepping up with three goals. So,
still had five games in three games before that.
Games. We'll see what happens, like, internally with Pachuca though, because, like, Aviles Hurtado, like, he was furious in the last game after he was substituted out, and he was, like, arguing for a bit. Eric Sanchez, a really, really important player for them. It kind of seemed like he had a little bit of, like, a muscle issue there at the end. I don't know. Maybe I missed something. Maybe there are reports if there is an injury or not, but something to keep an eye on. But I'll still stick with Pachuca.
Hey, CCL. Teams for next year. For Mexico, León, Atlas, America, Tigres.
No, Atlas, Pachuca, León, Tigres. Yeah.
Atlas, Pachuca.
I thought it was
Atlas. Perdón. Atlas, Pachuca, and León and Tigres. So León, fracaso, like always, in the first
again, round. Yeah.
So we're not.
It'll be up against LAFC.
Like LAFC.
Somehow.
For LAFC. I don't need that embarrassment again.
Or Seattle. No. We always get taken out by the finalists. It's okay. And then, I want to see Atlas. I want to see what Pachuca at international tournaments. And then Tigres. Tigres is always fun to have. So it feels like Liga MX's return to having the trophy with we'll see what happens. Let's see how MLS does. Maybe they'll get two in a row. All right, really quick. Mexico versus Nigeria happening on Saturday in Dallas. Sorry, in Arlington. A squad of 28 players was named last week with a mix of youngsters and also the Europeos. This is a FIFA date. That's three games coming up, but the first one is in Dallas in AT&T Stadium. Really quick, what do you expect? What do you want coming out of this game? We'll start with Cesar.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that, you know, with this squad that Tata has basically kind of said almost like publicly in a way, but without actually saying it, that my list of World Cup players will be coming from this group of players right here. Maybe there'll be someone who, like, sneaks in who isn't involved, but it seems unlikely at this situation. So I think I would like to see certain players stepping up in positions that we need a little help with. I want to see players stepping up the fullback position. I want to see maybe someone outside of Raul Jimenez up front doing a good job as a potential backup number nine. And I think right now, like, we could all kind of predict who we could almost, like, guarantee, like, certain players or a strong portion of the roster who's going to go to the World Cup. So leading into that, I want to see certain players, some younger players stepping up and kind of making a case for themselves for the World Cup through games like this. But yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. Yeah.
We are seeing, I think Chucky is going to get arm surgery. There's some notable players that are not there because of injuries. I know people would don't like in this podcast. One is Morib, who also is injured. So it'd be interesting to see what his rankings are of the players that are going to go to World Cup. But when we go back to these are the games that there are those players that haven't done really well. That we've seen, why are they back into the lineup? And there's some hungry players that are taken there. Kari, for you, Mexico, Nigeria, what do you want and what the best scenario for you so we can make this at least a positive experience for
just simple. No injuries. I just don't want any injuries.
Yeah, that's a good show. Yeah.
The first of the Dallas Stadium, the Cowboys Stadium, which is Chapito Montes. then there's somebody else, right? Now it kind of drew a blank. There's a couple of them.
Yeah.
Also, one of my brothers wasn't aware of this curse, so I said it. I broke it to him. I think it was like Saturday, and then he got mad at me. So by logic of the Lopez family, if somebody is injured this weekend, it's entirely my fault. So.
Oh, I heard it's not going to be. They're bringing in new field or turf. Let me look at this. Something about the cancha. All right. Amy and I will be traveling to the game, and we'll bring content for FootMex Nation and, yeah, giving you all. If you're in Dallas, I believe there's a concert, too. That's Wednesday, Intocable. That's going to be there. It's part of the whole Next Tour thing. So go into mextour.org, I believe, and you can get tickets there. And some of the Mexican national team fan players.
Is there a code for that too? Is it like WISO 15 or something? You want to add?
No. WISO.
I mean, if you really want to go, let me know. I think WISO
15.
Intocable.
Yeah, Maddie goes up there.
No, I just want you to get him singing Sueña and then send it to me in the video. That's okay. My alarm.
You know what? I yeah. All right, done. We'll get that. For me, expecting, I want to see, kind of what Cesar said, I want to see some of those youngs mixing in, especially those positions that we're looking at. I would like to see Marcelo Flores get more minutes where it's not like everyone's looking at him, but it's, you know, we have three games here, seeing what he can do, feel a little more comfortable instead of being, you know, nervous into the national team. And then, after the three games, there's a Nations League that are in there in Torreon, and then the other one are in Jamaica. So we have a lot of national team games coming up. All right. La final is coming up this weekend. And then also a Mexico game. It's
and Champions League final. Sorry.
Champions League final. Amy's going all out and partying on Thursday because it's her birthday.
Oh, it's your birthday this Thursday? What?
She hates it. It's no one's birthday.
Thank you, Connie.
Can it be my birthday?
We're together on your birthday. Yes.
I can't remember.
I don't think we have. No, because all right. Would you like a cake?
No, I don't eat cake.
Okay. You don't eat cake. Yep.
I'm pretty picky about my cake. I'm really, really picky about like.
That's why I asked.
I don't eat leches?
Pastel. Do you like tres leches pastel?
I don't like cake. The only cake that I enjoy, and this is not an invitation. This is simply stating a fact. The only cake that I enjoy is the lemon cake from Costco.
Lemon cake.
They have Costco. Lemon cake?
I don't know if I've had that.
It's fantastic. It makes me happy, but I don't want to eat it.
So you birthday. Don't want to be happy.
I think you know that at this point.
What if we just send you the
fun? Nothing but cake.
If somebody cake. Wants to send Amy a Costco lemon cake, hit me up. And I will
do more beneficial things with your money, is what I would say.
Like a $5 rotisserie chicken from Costco. Yeah, there you go.
You get two meals from there.
Like yeah, no, from Costco. Three if you really want to.
Flautas, chicken flautas.
I just made flautas over the weekend. That's great.
Oh, sounds good.
This podcast is brought to you by Costco.
I love Costco.
Where inflation never hits.
Cheap bottles of vodka too, and it's also like $1.50 hot dog.
This is why we have Kirkland shirts. All right. It's gonna be a good week. Lots of football coming up. Really quick, Champions League. Who wins, Teddy? Is Real Madrid shock everybody?
Real Madrid. No,
take it off. Take the heart. Right. You know what? This is the first time I kind of want Real Madrid to win. Like, it'd be hilarious if Real Madrid wins. Like, I'm actually pulling for Real Madrid winning.
Real Madrid nada más.
It's funny. All right. So I said, who wins?
I don't know. I don't really pay attention too much to the European soccer.
Just choose one,
Cesar.
Nobody tell him. Do you know who Real Madrid is facing in the Champions League
final? Yes, obviously I know who's playing. It's weird how did like Real Madrid become the good guys?
I can tell you why.
It's just weird the way Real Madrid is now the good guys. It's just weird the way that people are talking. It's like, since
I really like how Gadi is a Real Madrid fan because she's just such a nice person that like you do understand the irony of like hating America but also loving Real Madrid, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But it's just weird that the good guys. It's strange.
Right now they're the good guys.
Why is that weird?
Because they were always the bad guys. They were always the bad guys for quite some time. The Galacticos and whatnot. And now suddenly everyone's like, ooh, they're like... Benzema's likable, though, so, yeah.
Benzema, Vini, everybody.
It'd be good. I have my other reasons why it'd be hilarious if Real Madrid wins. Okay. All right.
What are your hilarious reasons?
I can tell you offline. Okay. We get into it, and it's gonna be a while.
Also, we gotta give a quick shout out to the Femenil final that's about to start in 43 minutes. Chivas Pachuca, that should be a lot of fun. Obviously, Chivas have the 4-2 advantage, but I mean, you never know what's gonna really happen in these finals. So yeah, something to keep an eye on. Although once people are listening, this game will already be over. So shout out to Chivas for winning the title.
Shout out to future me congratulating them.
Pachuca, Charlene Coran scoring a hat trick. And
she could.
Bringing it back. And then Pachuca winners and the men's winners. I think, wasn't that when Chivas won too? When Chivas
was won it the first was Ch- and America? And no, in Monterrey too, right?
I thought also, it was really, Chivas. The first year was the same year that Almeida won.
Maybe. I think you might be right. And also really quickly, now Femenil, they're allowed to have up to four foreign players in their rosters. There was a Liga MX owners meeting earlier today. They said they have Femenil teams can now have up to four foreign players. And also VAR is going to be used in playoff games going forward. Also only like other stuff. Team. Yeah. It's a little disappointing. It's only playoff games. But other things really quickly from that meeting, the time to sell Querétaro is now extended. It's supposed to be at the end of the year. Now they're going to be extending that time period. Also, they're going to start to measure throw-ins and goal kicks in Liga MX. So that'll be interesting to see what happens. Next season, they're going to start to measure that.
Measure what?
Literally how long it takes to do goal kicks and throw-ins.
Oh, like...
Yeah, because like then what?
5 seconds or like... Like
yeah, exactly. Go, yeah, exactly.
I have
that
in my league. The ref's always like,
yeah. So they're going to measure it, and then maybe in 2023 is that they might actually introduce some sort of like shot clock situation where like, oh, you only have this many seconds, that many seconds.
It's so much time wasted.
Because Liga MX has been pushing for a while. They've realized that there's a lot of time wasting in the league in comparison to other leagues. So they're trying to have more active time in the game. So this is one of the things they're trying to do. And then season's going to start July 1st and then end of my birthday on October 30th to have enough time to prep for the World Cup. Yeah.
It's like Liga MX is like July 1st. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thank you again, Gadi, Cesar, Amy, all of you guys that listen to the Mexican Soccer Show here in podcast form. We'll be back on live form. We'll probably take next week's Monday. We'll figure out when we do the show because it is Memorial Day, people are on vacation, and they're so we'll probably record either on Tuesday or we'll de debemos una, but we'll see what happens in this Liga MX final. We'll usually try to do a space for Mexico games. I know Cesar are usually up for that, so we'll see. So just kind of keep on the socials, and yeah, this is another Mexican Soccer Show. Hasta la próxima.